The title of our message today and the instruction that I have from the Lord is to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. Now, you didn't hear what I said. God wants me to announce to you. He wants me to preach to you. He wants me to proclaim to you that the year 2014 of our Lord, this is the favorable year of the Lord for you. This is the year of favor for you. Now what'll help you to get some shout in your spirit today is to understand what the favorable year of the Lord is. God had given this divine principle to His children that every 7 year was to be a Sabbath. And after series of 7 years was 7 times 7 is what? 49. After 49 years, the 50th year was the year of the favor from the Lord. It was the year when the slate was wiped clean. It was the year when the prisoners were set free. It was the year when the debts were removed. It was the year when everything that had been lost had been restored. Now, I'm wondering, is there anybody that's 50 years old this year? Oh, my goodness. Are you going to receive that right there? Yeah. This is not for black balloons and black flags. This is a white balloon and a white salute saying, this is the year of favor for me. But guess what? God wants you to know that this is the favorable year for you when He will wipe the slate clean. How many of you that have been oppressed would like to be set free? How many of you who have been in bondage would like to experience freedom? How many of you that have had finances blocked up would like to have them released and flow in abundant? How many of you that have been blind to truth would like to see truth? Well, God is going to give you the year of favor this year. Let's read the word of the Lord and move on in to this message. In Luke chapter 4, your Bible says, let me just move to the first part of the message, and I'll give you that. There are three simple things that I want to give you. The first one is, I want you to notice the testimony that Luke described. I want you to notice the testimony that Luke described in chapter 4 and verse 1. Now, there are six things that Luke describes about the testimony relating to Jesus. Here's the first one. It says, Jesus full of whom? Oh, my goodness. Jesus was filled with or full of the Holy Spirit. Now, the question comes to mind is, when did Jesus get filled with and full of the Holy Spirit? Well, the Bible answers that for us when it tells us that at His water baptism, He also received the Spirit baptism. At His water baptism, the Spirit descended upon Him and just anointed Him and just covered Him, and it abided on Him. And guess what? When you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you are prepared to obey Him in all things that He's commanded, and you follow Him into the waters of baptism, then there is a Spirit baptism that He has available to you that you need to have access to, and you can have the testimony that Jesus, that you are full of the Holy Spirit. Now, look at what else it says. That's just the first thing it says about Him. Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit. Now, we are commanded in the New Testament to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to always be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, look at the second thing that it says. Not only was Jesus full of the Holy Spirit, but because He was full of the Holy Spirit, Jesus was led around by, or He was influenced by, the Holy Spirit in the wilderness. I want to ask you, what's leading you today? What's leading you in your wilderness season? What's leading you in your time of difficulty? What's leading you in your day today? You know, today is unfolding for us, and you have already been led by the Spirit to come to the house of God. You have already been obedient to the Spirit of God to come to the house of God. But you don't know what's waiting on you the rest of the day. But God wants to say something to you today. God wants to reveal something to you today. God wants to change something in you today. God wants to do something for you today that's going to help you be prepared for whatever the rest of this day and the rest of this week has for you. Oh, look, it gets better. Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit. Jesus returned from the Jordan and was led around. To be full means to be influenced by. He was led around by the Spirit in the wilderness. And for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. The third thing that this testimony tells us is that Jesus was influenced by the Holy Spirit to enter into a 40-day period of time of fasting. That means that for 40 days, Jesus was not going to eat any food. Now look at what it says was waiting on him. What was waiting on him when he was led by the Spirit, when he was influenced by the Spirit to enter into a season of fasting? Guess who was waiting on him when he entered into that time of fasting? The Bible says the devil was waiting on him. The devil said, I believe this will be a good time to launch my attacks against you. I believe this will be a good time to offer my temptations and enticement to you. I believe that you're going to be more vulnerable during this season than you've ever been before in your earthly ministry, and I believe I can get you at this time. Now, in chapter 4, verse 13, you know what the Bible says about this when he got kicked in the gut, in the pants, by Jesus, when Jesus didn't give in to that. The Bible says the devil departed. The devil departed, but he didn't depart forever. He departed for a more opportune time. Now, I don't know who you have met during your season of fasting with us, but I want to tell you the old devil, he's met with me. You know, the old devil, he's come and tried to mess with me while I'm fasting, while I'm praying, to see if I'm really crucifying my flesh, to see if I'm really being filled with the Spirit, to see if I'm really being led by the Spirit. And the old devil's trying to work his ways in you. But when you overcome him by the Word of God, when you overcome him by the power of God, when you overcome him by the Spirit of God, then the old devil, he'll leave you for a season. But always remember this, he's looking for a more opportune time. It's not over for you. It's just going to come back again and launch attack again. But I want you to look at what else it says. For 40 days, being tempted by the devil, Jesus ate nothing during those 40 days. And when his fast ended, what's it say about Jesus? He became hungry. Now, you know, some of you are ending your fast today, and guess what? Either you're going to get hungry when you end this, or you came into this day hungry and thanking God that this is a time of that. Like you've been like Jesus. You know, it's perfectly natural when you end the season of fasting to be hungry for the physical nourishment that your body needs. But you know, the thing about fasting is it makes you spiritually hungry for more. I personally enjoy the disciplines. I enjoy the hardships of fasting because of the benefits that I get from being more sensitive to God and more immersed in His will and to His Word. And then the sixth thing I want you to see about the testimony about Jesus, notice what your Bible says about how it ended in the spiritual realm for Him. In verse 14, it says, And Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Now, I don't know how you entered into your season of fasting. My question is, you know, how are you going to end it? If you entered into it full of the Spirit, are you going to leave it filled with the Spirit? Well, if you don't leave your season of fasting being filled with the Spirit, something went wrong somewhere, and God's saying, don't leave me yet. Don't break this thing yet. But I want to tell you that when you get a taste of being filled with the Spirit, when you get a testimony of being led by the Spirit, when you get the victories that come from having the power of the Spirit, you don't want anything else for your life. And that's how Jesus continued. And in verse 14, he returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. And your Bible says news began to spread all about him. Now that's an interesting word. We see in Mark chapter 2 that some translations say that when Jesus was heard to be in the house in Capernaum, that news went out about him. But that's a different word. That's the word akouo. We get our word acoustics from it. That means that it started when Jesus first started ministering in Capernaum in Galilee. It just was a rumor that, man, this man's a miracle worker. This man's a mighty man of God. This man's a great teacher. But I want to tell you, by the time that he had gone into the wilderness, by the time that he had faced the devil, by the time he had defeated the devil, he came out full of the Holy Spirit, being led by the Holy Spirit, and he came walking with the power of the Spirit of God on him, and it wasn't a rumor anymore. It was a full-fledged report that this is none other than Jesus the Christ, the Son of God. Now, that's the testimony that Luke described. But let me show you the second thing, which is the most important thing, and that is the message that Jesus delivered. I want you to notice the message that Jesus delivered. Chandler, can you fast forward to us up there, please? The message that Jesus delivered. Now, what happened when he returned in the power of the Holy Spirit? The Bible says that as was his custom, as was his habit, as was his conviction, when it was the Sabbath day, Jesus entered into the synagogue. Now, the synagogues had a tradition. They had a custom that if there were any guest rabbis, if there were any visiting rabbis present, then they would be offered the opportunity to do the scripture reading, the public reading of the scripture, and to make any comments they wanted to make about them. Oh my goodness, can you imagine? Jesus had already gained the news about him, had already went out that this man teaches like we've never heard him teach. This man teaches with authority, not like the scribes and the Pharisees teach. And now this day, as was his custom, Jesus with the reputation, Jesus with the report of being a great teacher from God, he is in the synagogue that day, and as their custom was, as their tradition was, they were being polite to him, they were being kind to him, and your Bible says in verse 17, and the book of the prophet whom? The book of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Oh, can you see a spell coming on right here for Jesus? Can you see a divine opportunity unfolding for him right there? Oh, Jesus, would you just say a few little kind words for us today? Would you give us one of those little sermonettes that you've got right there? We don't want anything much. We don't want anything long. We don't want anything real deep. We'd just like you to say a few nice words. You know, sometimes you come to church and, you know, you want a nice word. But I want to tell you, you need a prophetic word. And Jesus, they come and in their mind, they just happen. Let's see. Where would we like to have reading from today? And the attendant that was in charge of that said, oh, I don't know. How about this one right here? Jesus, would you give us a few words from this right here? And so your Bible says that the book of the prophet Isaiah was handed him. And Jesus opened the book and he found the place in Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1, where it was already written. Oh, how did Luke begin the testimony about Jesus? That Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit. Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit. And then what did Jesus turn to in Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 1? And Luke records it for us in verse 18 of Luke chapter 4. Jesus stood up and he tells us that on this day he had a 5-point sermon. Can somebody say amen? He had a 5-point sermon that day, and here is the introduction that he gives. Jesus stands up and he says, boys, I want you to know the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Oh my goodness, every preacher, every one of us want to be able to stand up and say that with honesty, with integrity, every single time we stand up and open the prophet Isaiah or any other place in the Word of God, and we can say that the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. You know, before I knew the ramifications, before I knew the full interpretation, before I knew the full application of this right here, when I was in my first pastorate at the Pike Baptist Church, we had 18 members when I went there. And I didn't know anything about anything. I barely had learned that Job was not Job and that Psalms was not Palms. But I was called to preach, and I knew that. But when I'd be sitting on that little platform up there in that little country church out in the middle of nowhere, man, the old devil would come and bombard me with all kinds of thoughts of unworthiness, all kinds of thoughts of unrighteousness, all kinds of thoughts of inferiority, all kinds of thoughts of inadequacy. And man, I'd be in a mental battle up there, but I want to tell you, God had taken me as a combat to that, to Isaiah 61 and to Luke chapter 4. And God would say that the Spirit of the Lord is upon you. It's not about your worthiness. It's not about your ability. It's not about your adequacy. It's not about your sufficiency. I am all of that for you, and the Spirit of the Lord God is upon you. Now here's what Jesus did when they handed him the book of Isaiah. He turned intentionally to Isaiah 61 verse 1 and verse 2, and he says, boys, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And that would have been one thing, but then what's the word after me? Because. Oh, my goodness, thank God for the because. I want to talk to you today about the because. Why in the world was the Spirit of the Lord upon him? Why in the Lord is the Spirit of God upon me? It's because. How many of you remember ever telling your children when they ask you, why do we have to do that? Because. Why do I need to do that? Because. Why? Because I said so. Because I said so. And I want to tell you the because behind Jesus is his five-point sermon. He says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because, number one, he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Can somebody say amen? Now I want you to look at those three words that you were asked to fill in those blanks on your outline. Let's look at the word anointed. The word anointed is a word that means to cover completely. When he stood up that day, they knew exactly what he was saying. He said, boys, I want you to look at me. The Spirit of God is all over me. The Spirit of God has covered me from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. I have been led into the wilderness and I have faced the devil. I have resisted temptation and I have come into your house today to tell you that the Spirit of the Lord God has anointed me to do something. The anointing always has a purpose. The anointing always has a reason. And the reason that the Spirit of God was all over him is because the Spirit of God wanted him to preach. Someone say, preach, Pastor, preach. The word preach is the word euangelizo. It is the word that means the good news. It is the word we get our word gospel from. It is the word that we get the death, the burial, and the resurrection out of. He says, the Spirit of God's all over me from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet because I'm here to preach to you. I'm here to proclaim to you the good news to whom? To the poor. Now, the poor is the audience that needs to hear the good news. Now, who is a poor person? A poor person is someone who's lacking what they need. And the context that he's talking about here is those who are lacking the spiritual necessities to have a relationship with God. He said, God has sent me to preach the good news to those who are lacking what it takes to have a relationship with God. I'm here to tell you, it's here now. That's what God is saying the Spirit of the Lord is upon him for, because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. Can somebody say, thank God for the preaching? Oh, where were you? Where were you when the good news reached you? Where were you when the Holy Spirit first opened your eyes to see that you were spiritually bankrupt, that you were morally deficient, that you were a stranger from God, you were separated from God and a heartbeat away from a devil's hell? Where were you when the good news of the gospel of grace appeared to you, that Jesus loved you just like you are? He died on the cross for your sins and he rose from the dead the third day. And if you would trust him, he would come into you and live with you and take you to heaven when you die. Oh, he was anointed to preach the good news to the poor. Point number one of his sermon. Point number two to his sermon that day was, he sent me to proclaim release to the captives. He sent me to proclaim release to the captives. Oh, my goodness, I want you to look at this. Now, the word for sent is the same word we use for apostle. It means someone sent with the authority to do the mission. Someone sent with what's necessary to accomplish the goal. And Jesus said, I have been sent with the authority to proclaim what? To proclaim release. Can somebody say release? Oh my goodness. I have come to proclaim release. Now the word release is the word forgiveness. The word release is the word for deliverance. And what Jesus was saying is, I have the authority because I have been anointed to bring the good news to you who are spiritually lacking. I have been given the authority to proclaim forgiveness to you and deliverance to you and restoration to whom? To the captives. Now, who are the captives? The captives are those who've been taken prisoner at the point of a spear. That was the word that was used for a prisoner who had been taken captive by an enemy. And I want to tell you, when the serpent entered into the Garden of Eden and deceived Eve and got Adam to rebel, that all of mankind from Adam to Eve to this very day have been taken prisoner. We are captives to sin. We are captives to Satan. We are captive to the kingdom of darkness. But I've got good news for you today, church. God has sent Jesus with the anointing, with the authority to proclaim, to herald, to announce, to shout to the mountaintops that release is available, that forgiveness is available, that deliverance is available to those who are in bondage to sin, to those who are in bondage to Satan, to those who are bonded to addiction. You don't have to be a captive any longer. Why? This is your year of favor. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Point number three. Number one, he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Point number two, he has sent me to proclaim release to the captives. And point number three, and to set free those who are oppressed. To set free those who are oppressed. Can somebody say amen? Now, to set free is the form of the same word used for apostle. And the word oppressed means shattered. It means those who are broken. It means those who are bruised. It means those who are unable to function. Those who are unable to function as God intended them to do. Can somebody say amen? Oh, and recovery of sight to the blind. And recovery of sight to the blind. Now, recovery, the word recovery that he gives, I want you to look at this. The word recovery is a word that means to reclaim. It's a word that means to restore a broken down vessel to its intended function or purpose. God says that there are some prisoners out there. There are some captives out there that don't have their sight. There are some captives out there that are blind and they can't see the condition they're in. And they need somebody with authority to come and release them from their bondage to sin, to release them from their bondage to Satan, to release them from their bondage to drugs, to release them from their bondage to things that bind them up and keep them from living according to their purposes and their calling. He needs somebody to help them to recover, to be restored to their intended design by their Creator. And what you need to have that is you need to have your sight. Now, the sight means the capacity to see what is before you. And we are all born dead in our sins and trespasses. We are blinded to who God is. We're blinded to our true spiritual condition. But we need the Holy Ghost to open our eyes and to help us to see. The old hymn that we would sing is, I once was what? I once was blind, but now I what? I see. Why? Because the Spirit of the Lord God was upon Jesus. He had the authority to release the captives. He gave them recovery of sight to the blind and to set free those who are oppressed. Give Him praise and thanksgiving in the house of the Lord. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. It gets better. It gets better. And then He said, all of that, now for the closing, point number five to the message. To proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. Now, it's one thing to know that somebody's been anointed to preach the gospel to the poor. It's one thing to know that somebody's been sent to proclaim release to the captives. It's been one thing to understand that the recovery of the sight to the blind is available. It's one thing to know that that those who are oppressed can be set free. But when? When can those things happen? Jesus said, boys, I want to tell you that the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because I am to proclaim to you that the favorable year of the Lord is now. Now, every single one of those God-fearing Jews, every single one of those religion-blinded scribes and Pharisees would have understood about the year of Jubilee. Every single one of them would have understood about the year that the slate got wiped clean. And Jesus says, boys, I want to tell you that you've got debts that you have no idea that you've got. You've got bondage that you have no idea that you've got. And I'm here to wipe the slate clean from everything that has hindered you, everything that has blinded you, everything that has held you in bondage. Can somebody say amen? Now let's look at that. To proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. That is the time that God has willed. It is the time that God has established for your redemption, for your restoration, for your healing, for your deliverance as His child. Now the year that God chooses to release His favor, it's the year that God chooses to release His grace. It's the year that God chooses to release His gifts and His glory on you, in you, and through you, and through me. And Jesus stands, and I believe that in my preparation for fasting and in my time of fasting that the Spirit of God has come upon me and said, I want you to announce to them that the year of my favor is now. That the year 2014 is the year that I'm going to wipe their slate clean. They're going to start over with me. It's going to be a new beginning with me. I am going to redeem them. I'm going to restore them. I'm going to heal them. I'm going to deliver them. All things are going to become new. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Let me tell you how that comes upon you. It usually comes upon you. The release usually comes when you are the most discouraged. When you are the most depressed, when you're the most weary and you're thinking that you've been forgotten, that you think you've been abandoned, and you're beginning to wonder about the promises God has made to you. In your Bible reading today, you'll read about the encounter that Joseph had when the favorable year of the Lord was released on him. What you have already read in Genesis, I think it's chapter 35, that when Joseph was 17 years old, God gave him a dream. God gave him a dream and God gave him a promise. When he began telling his dream, he began believing his dream, he began walking in his dream, that's when everybody began to hate him. That's when everybody began to do things to hurt him. That's when he got thrown into a pit by his brothers and left for dead and told his father that he was dead. When he got out of the pit, he was sent to Potiphar's palace and the favor of God was on him, the goodness of God was on him, the grace of God was all over him, but Potiphar's wife lied on him. And then he got sent to prison. He got sent for prison and he was incarcerated, now get this, for 2 more years. For 2 years. Now when the year of the Lord came upon Joseph, it had been 13 years. And the last two of those, were prison years, darkness years, bondage years. And all he ever asked for people he was kind to, all he ever asked of people that he showed grace to, all he ever asked for people he ministered to is, don't forget me when you get yours. Don't forget me when God releases you. But you know what your Bible says about those that he ministered to, those that he helped, those that he encouraged, those that he blessed? They forgot him. They forgot him. But I want to tell you, just because others have forgotten you, God's never forgotten you. Just because you're faltering on the promise God's given to you, He's not faltering on the promise to you. Faithful is He who promised, is He who will deliver it. And your Bible says when Joseph was as discouraged and Joseph was as depressed and Joseph was as heartbroken as he could be, the Bible says after 2 full years. How many of you know there's a difference between 2 years and 2 full years? Some of you in the midst of a full year. I mean, it's full of stuff. It's full of heartache. It's full of oppression. It's full of pain. It's full of prison. It's full of assignment. It's full of accusation. It's full of temptation. It's full of defeat. It's full of a lot of stuff. It's full. But at the end of that full year, your Bible says God came and the prison guards came and said, oh, Joseph, I don't know what this means, but the Pharaoh wants to see you. Oh, my goodness. And Joseph, the Bible says, they washed him, they cleaned him, they shaved him, put new robes on, put new clothes on him. And he walked right into the king's presence, into the Pharaoh's presence. And man, can you imagine how your heart would be beating? Can you imagine how your spirit would begin to be reviving just a little bit? And the devil's wanting to tell you, now, this man right here holds the key to your release. This man right here holds the key to your future. But you know, that'd be a lie. Pharaoh didn't hold the hand of his release. Pharaoh didn't hold the key to his favor. Pharaoh didn't hold the key to his prosperity. God did. And God had given Pharaoh a dream that no magician, no soothsayer, no fortune teller, no psychic could interpret for him. But then all of a sudden, the one that he had ministered to remembered when his head was on the line. Pharaoh said, boys, if y'all don't tell me what this dream means, you all are going to die. And then that one that God had interpreted his dream, he said, hey, before you go to swinging that guillotine again, there is a Hebrew boy. There is a Hebrew youth that he interprets dreams. And so they went and got him. And Pharaoh told him his dream. And when Pharaoh told him his dream, he said, there is a God who's going to give you the answer. Joseph didn't elevate himself. Joseph didn't bow down to Pharaoh. Joseph just spoke the truth in love and let the consequences fall. Pharaoh was so impressed with that. Joseph said, hey, there's going to be 7 years of prosperity come upon this whole nation. Everything that you're in charge of, you're about to enter to the most prosperous 7 years that this nation has ever seen and probably will ever see. But it's going to be followed by 7 years of famine like you've never seen. And what you need is to point somebody over that who's wise and understanding. And Joseph said, the last thing I've got to say to you is, before I leave, find you somebody who's wise and find you somebody who's understanding that you can appoint to oversee the 7 years of prosperity. And the Spirit of God spoke to Pharaoh, say, the one you're looking for is right in front of you. And can somebody say, my dream came true? His dream came true. Why? Because it was the favorable year of the Lord. The time that God had ordained. The time that God had chosen. The season that God had declared for favor to rain down upon him. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Now, I believe that the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. I believe that he has anointed me to bring the good news to those who are unable to do for themselves. And just as clearly and surely as I know that, I believe that he's done that because he's wanting me to announce to you today that it is the favorable year of the Lord for you. Now, what do you need to do? What do we need to do? Well, I've shown you the testimony that Luke described. I've delivered to you the best that I know how, the message that Jesus delivered. But here's how I don't want you to react to this message. I want to show you the rage the people demonstrated. Now, Jesus did a far better job at preaching that five-point sermon than I ever could. I mean, that was Jesus. I mean, that was a sinless one. That was the Savior himself preaching his own sermon. I'm just like a barking dog. You know how in your neighborhood when one dog barks, the other dog barks? And the second dog don't know why he's barking. He's barking because the first dog barked. You know, sometimes preachers are just barking dogs. We're barking what other dogs have barked. But Jesus wasn't a barking dog. He was the dog. And he preached. And he preached. And they understood that. And then your Bible says that what Jesus did after that is that he closed the book up and he gave it back to the attendant. And look at verse 21. And he began to say to them, and all of them, what's not in your outline, all of them can say, oh, what a nice little sermon he preached. Oh, what a nice little word he brought today. And that sure made me feel better today. Until he made application. You know, application always is a difference maker. Knowledge usually doesn't offend your spirit, but application of knowledge really does. Commands usually don't get next to you, but obedience to commands will get all over you. And Jesus began to say then, and boys, I want you to know something. Today this scripture has just been fulfilled in your hearing. What you've just heard is the truth before God that'll stand forever and ever. And all the people in the synagogue were filled with what? Rage. Why were they filled with rage when that glorious, wonderful sermon was delivered and declared to be fulfilled? Jesus gave them some examples that what this is going to mean now to them is that, you know, this favor that God's about to release, it's not going to be just on the Jews. It's also going to be on the Gentiles. You know, there were a lot of widows in Israel, but Elijah only healed the widow of Zarephath. You know, there were a lot of lepers in Israel, but Elisha only healed Naaman the Syrian. And when he said those things right there, and they understood that you mean that God is everybody's God? He's not just our God? You mean God's going to release the blind of the Gentiles? You mean God is going to give recovery of sight to Gentiles? You mean God is going to show favor and grace and gifts and glory to the Gentiles? Your Bible says now that we understand that, the Bible says they were filled with rage and they got up and they began driving him out of the city. They began driving out of the city in order to throw him down the cliff. Oh, but there's a key word after cliff. What is that key word after cliff? We talked about the buts in the Bible before. Pay careful attention to the buts in the Bible. But, now look at this. Passing through their midst, what did Jesus do? He went his way. Church, I'm here to tell you today that Jesus is passing through our midst. Jesus is passing through our midst. He has just declared to you that this is the favorable year of the Lord. You can respond any way you want to respond. You can react any way you want. But let me tell you what is going to happen. Jesus is going to go his way. Jesus is going to go the way that he is intended to go. And he's going to walk right through our midst. And we can either say, oh, Jesus, don't pass us by. I want my favor. I want my blessing. I want my gifting. I want the glory. I want the graces. I want it all, Lord God. I want the miracles. I want the mess. I want the hardship. I want the difficulty. I want it all, Lord God. And if you want that, guess what? The favorable year of the Lord is here before you. And God is going to wipe your slate clean. Now, what I'm going to ask you to do is to stand to your feet right now. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. And here's what I want you to do with me. I want you to say, if you believe this in your heart, I want you to say, this is my season.
This is my season.
This is my appointed time, for favor. Let's say it again for emphasis. This is my season.
This is my appointed time,
for favor.
Now
I want you to say, this is my season.
This is my appointed time
for grace.
This is my season.
This is my appointed time
for God to wipe my slate
clean.
This is my season.
This is my appointed time
for God
to make all things new.
This will be my season.
This will be my appointed time
to reap
what I am sowing.
I'm going to reap
what I'm sowing.
So I'm going to sow
what I want to reap.
I want righteousness.
So I'm going to sow righteousness.
I want to reap kindness.
So I'm going to sow kindness.
I want to reap love.
So I'm going to sow love.
I want to reap thankfulness.
So I'm going to sow thankfulness.
I want to reap power.
So I'm going to submit to power.
I want to be filled
with the Holy Spirit.
I want to be led
by the Holy Spirit.
I will defeat
the devil
in the wilderness,
in the highway,
on the mountain,
in the valley.
I will defeat
temptation
that's waiting on me.
I say yes to Jesus.
I say no to temptation.
And in the power of the Holy Spirit,
I am more
than a conqueror.
Give God praise and glory in the house today, church.
You've been listening to a message from Truth Tabernacle of Praise. We encourage you to explore the many sermons available on our website, www.truthtabernacle.net. If you'd like more information and you're listening in the United States, please call 404-297-7700. That's 404-297-7700. Or send an email to info@truthtabernacle.net. Again, that's info@truthtabernacle.net. We would love to hear about how this message has encouraged you in some way. For those living around or visiting the Metro Atlanta area, we invite you to attend in person. You'll find the music refreshing and the people friendly and inviting. Join us for worship this Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Truth Tabernacle of Praise is located at 5705 Memorial Drive in Stone Mountain, Georgia. Thanks again for listening, and may God bless you.